this special extended podcast for the complete service for Sunday the 16th of August. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes. We've also now added a complete video recording of the service, which you can access by visiting the sermon section of our website and selecting the date of the service you want to watch. This began on Sunday the 3rd of May.
We are together, now we can begin. The youngest and the oldest, the only child to twin. Some who're feeling left out, and some who're feeling in. Gathering in this place. Welcome everybody, it's good to see you. Welcome everybody, it's good to see you. Welcome everybody, it's good to see you. Gathering in this place. Here we are together, joining in this song. Even those who feel that their singing's not that strong. And as we sing, may every person know that they belong. Gathering in this place. It's good to see you. Welcome everybody. It's good to see you. Welcome everybody. It's good to see you. Gathering in this place. Here we are together with our hopes and fears, bringing many feelings, our laughter and our tears. Now it's time for everyone to tell the world we're here. Gathering in this place. Welcome everybody, it's good to see you. Welcome everybody, it's good to see you. Welcome everybody, it's good to see you.
Welcome everybody, it's good to see you here. Great to welcome you to our online worship happening at the same time but just not in the same place as our in-person worship taking place at St. Peter's. So we join together in our different places to worship God and to pray to him and to give him glory. If you're new, my name's Ned. I'm the vicar here. I haven't been introducing myself over the last few months. A lot of other things on my head. But it's great if you're joining us for the first time. And if you're joining us for the 107th time, you're also welcome. Before we begin, you should have accessed this service sheet from our website. That website is in the comment section, pinned comment, so do go there if you need to download that or indeed print it off. It will have all the words for the songs, although they will be on the screen as you've seen, and also the liturgy. So do get those. There's also some resources that you'll need for our prayer activity a little later on in the service. That's 5 plates or dishes and a slice of bread for each person in the household who's going to pray with us. We're going to begin with just welcoming each other, continuing to welcome each other. I hope you can use the comment section wherever that is on your screen. Do use the comment section to welcome each other, say hello to each other, interact. It's been sort of because I can't interact with it because this is pre-recorded. It's meant that people have stopped interacting because they only want to really interact with me, which I totally understand. You know, I am the best person to interact with. But you've got each other, so do interact with each other. And they've got some quizzes and some games to play today, so it would be good to see you using those. We're going to begin with our liturgy, which you can find on the service sheet. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognise his presence with us. So, as always, let's just take a few moments just to breathe in and settle down for our worship this morning and remember that God is with us. As God's people, we have gathered. We come as we are, we'll leave changed by the love of God. So we're going to worship with another welcoming song. Some of you will not know this song, but it's pretty easy to pick up.
Shout, be your rhythm, you're enough. Today's reading is from Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed that very hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Song to lead us into confession. So in light of our Bible reading, we're going to just bring those things that we want to confess to God. I'm going to lead us in specific things, but I'll give us a little bit of time just to reflect on our week, maybe longer if you've not confessed to God for a long time, just to bring those things that we're sorry for, the things that we regret, seeking his help and his guidance. Merciful God, we confess that, just like Jesus' disciples, we too sometimes lose patience with people who need our help. Like the disciples, we find ourselves wishing that they would just go away and leave us in peace. We say together, in your mercy, forgive us. Remind us again of the deep love you showed towards us when we were still in need. A love so deep that it sent you willingly to the cross on our behalf. Again we say together, in your mercy, forgive us. I'm just going to invite you just to be still and quiet. Bring your own confessions to God in the quiet of your own hearts. So we say together, in your mercy, forgive us. Show us how to love others as you have loved us. Teach us your compassion so that we may be your hands and feet to those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So children, if you are not around the screen, do come close. Got some games and some quizzes that you might want to play along with your family with. The first one is a game about choosing popular things. We're looking at popularity. I'm going to start with that. So what we want to do is I want you to think, what's the most popular car? What's the most popular sport? What's the most popular pizza topping? What's the most popular TV presenter? The most popular dog? And the most popular sweet? Okay, so have a bit of a think. Which of these, in these categories, what do you think has been voted the most popular by the most amount of people? Who would think this is the favourite thing of these categories? So have a think about them. We're going to start by thinking about the most popular car. Okay, so have a bit of a guess. When you think you've got a guess for that most popular car, write that in the comments section. Have a think, most popular car. This is a brand of car, a make of car, not obviously the Knight Rider car, although that dates me a lot. The most popular brand and make of car. Okay, so in the comments section, if you could be writing that, that'd be really helpful. Give you a couple more seconds for your guesses. The answer, drumroll please, is Ford Fiesta. It's the most popular car. Most popular car is a Ford Fiesta. So congratulations if you guessed that. If you didn't, bad luck. The next category is the most popular sport. This might be slightly easier. Most popular sport. Most people thinking this is their favourite sport. Most popular sport in the comment section. Okay, what do you think it is of all the sports that there are? You may be having conversations about what is a game and what is a sport. Let's not get into that. Most popular sport, this is probably the easiest category to guess. The answer, drum roll please, of course, it's football. Football is the most popular sport. Congratulations if you got that correct. Okay, moving on. Next category, pizza topping. Now, this is not your favourite pizza topping, although I'd be very interested to know what your favourite pizza topping is. But it's the most popular pizza topping. What is it that most people choose? Okay. Again, you might want to have a conversation in your household about the presence of pineapple on pizza. That's always the controversial subject of whether or not you put pineapple on a pizza or not. But what's the most popular voted for in this country? Most popular pizza topping in the comments section. I'll give you you a couple more seconds. Those of you who are playing, do be writing them in the comment section. The answer is, of course, pepperoni. Pepperoni, most popular pizza topping in the country, apparently. So, the next category, most popular TV presenter. TV presenter, most popular TV presenter. The person or people that most people like. All those TV presenters on the many channels. Which are the most popular? Most popular. Not the most present, i.e. not the people or persons who present the most things, but the British public, they voted for the most popular TV presenter, and this is the person or people that they chose. In the comments section, as always, writing down. I wonder if we're in agreement about this. I wonder if you're in agreement with it in your households. Most popular TV presenter. The answer, drum roll, David Attenborough, apparently. I really thought it was going to be Anton Deck, but David Attenborough, apparently, voted the most popular TV presenter in the British public. He is a national treasure, after all. So are Anton Deck, in my opinion, my humble opinion. The next one, most popular dog. Dog. Most popular breed of dog. What do you think it is? Most people buying this breed of dog or choosing this breed of dog or voted for. It says it's the most popular voted for. So I don't know if that means that most people buy this breed of dog. But what would it be? Your favourite, most popular breed of dog. Voted for by the British public. Again, interesting to know what your favourite breed of dog is. What would mine be? I think mine would be a terrier, Highland Terrier probably, you know, like a Caesar dog. If I were to have a dog, which I probably won't, definitely won't, I would have one of those. So in the comment section, I wonder what you've written. And the answer, this surprised me, the Cocker Spaniel. There's the most popular breed of dog, the Cocker Spaniel. So who'd have thought that? I apologise if that has upset someone, because we've had some very sad news recently. I think Lucy was a Cocker Spaniel. The Arnotts will probably tell me. But the Arnotts lost their dog a couple of weeks ago. I'm really sorry. I think she was a Cocker Spaniel. She looked like a Cocker Spaniel anyway. Finally, final category, most popular brand of sweet or type of sweet. Most popular brand of sweet, type of sweet. Wonder what it is. Wonder what yours is. Sweets. It doesn't include chocolates, by the way. Just sweets. I think mine would probably be wine gums. I think that's my favourite. I think it's wine gums. But I wonder, the British public voted for their most popular sweet in the comments section below or on the side, depending on where it is on your screen. I always think it's below, but it's not. Okay, the answer, this final category, the final answer is Haribo Star Mix. It's the most popular type of sweet. So I wonder if you got any of those correct, and if so, how many categories you chose correctly. Popularity is a really interesting thing, isn't it? It makes out that this is what everyone else is doing, and so therefore it makes us feel a little bit pressured to do likewise, to follow along like a sheep, or a lemming, these people that just copy what other people do. I wonder if you have ever been judged for the decisions that you make, the choices that you make of, you know, pizza topping or type of sweet, and whether or not you've ever felt that pressure to be popular, to share the popular ideas or the popular thoughts or the popular opinions of others. and you feel sort of left out if you choose something else. When I was younger, when I was a child, I was what they call a contrary child, which means that I chose what most people didn't. So if most people were doing something, it would make me want to not do it. The famous, most memorable time that this happened was with the Harry Potter. When Harry Potter came out, the books, everyone was reading it and everyone was telling me that I should read it, and it was the best book around, and it just made me not want to read it. And I still haven't read any of the Harry Potter books. I have now watched two of the films I've watched now. There is a sense in which many of us feel the pressure to be popular, to choose the popular opinion and to fit in. The reason I raise this is because in our Bible reading today, Jesus leaves his hometown, his country, and crosses a border. He crosses the border so that he is in the minority. He is a Jew in a Gentile country. So he is a foreigner. He becomes a foreigner. He leaves his home country in order to get away because he's just becoming too popular. So he tries to hide himself amongst the Gentiles. But even there, he has the locals come and find him. In this instance, a woman from the area. So she is not a Jew. She's not part of Jesus's tribe or nationality or ethnicity. She is from a different ethnic background. But in this story, Jesus is the ethnic minority, and he comes and she comes and asks for help. In some translations that we heard today, it was crying out to him, which is fine. But in other translations, this woman shouts at him. And it's shouting. It kind of gives a sense of aggression, whereas crying out seems like it's pleading with him. I think it's probably a bit of both. But she cries out, or she shouts at Jesus to ask him for help. Now, he's come, it's basically a holiday. He's gone to a different country to get away, to rest, to relax, to get out of the public eye. And even here, someone comes, chases him down and shouts at him, asking for help, demanding things of him. And initially, Jesus remains quiet, but she continues. And the disciples try to send her away and say, "Jesus, shall we get rid of her? Because she's just shouting at us, and we want to rest." But the woman keeps going, and Jesus responds to her, and her request is that he would come and heal her daughter, who's possessed by demons. And he says, I'm really only here to deal with the Jews. I'm only really here, first and foremost, to serve the Jewish people, to the household of God. And she says, "Yeah, but you can still help me." And he uses this term, dog. "No, but it's not fair to feed the dogs before the children of the household." Now, there's lots being said about this, about the dog being a curse word, a derogative term, him dismissing her and thinking less of her. There's questions over that. He's essentially saying that she's like a pet dog, maybe a cocker spaniel, as we've discovered, most popular breed of dog. But he's saying that, you know, in a family with dogs, it's right that the children get fed first. Before the pets, before the animals, and we shouldn't give the food which is meant to be for the children to go to the dogs. That we shouldn't make the children starve and feed up the dogs. That's essentially what I think Jesus is saying. And the woman quite rightly points out, "Yes, but the dogs still get fed. So can I still get fed? But with the crumbs, even the little bit. I'm not asking for massive amounts. I'm just asking for some of you, some of the power that you have, that healing power that we know that you've done with the Jewish people. Can we just get a little bit of it?" And Jesus says, "Yes, you only need a little bit." And so he says to her, "You know, you're great in faith." Amongst the disciples, this woman would not have been popular. Her choices, her decisions would not have been popular. But it's also important to note that Jesus probably wasn't popular. Going in amongst the Gentiles, Jews were seen as less than human in that Gentile country. So Jesus was coming and feeling unpopular. He deliberately went there so that he wasn't popular, so that he would get away from the crowds. And that was certainly true. But in this instance, this woman comes to her and wants something of him. And so there's interesting power dynamics here. I'm talking mainly to the adults here, by the way. You may be reading beneath the lines here as to what's going on here or what might not be going on here. So children, another quiz for you. So we talked about popularity, about popular voices, unpopular voices. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But next up, this is I want you to choose the odd one out. Okay, so here we go. Four things: an ear, some lips, an arm, and a nose. What here is the odd one out? They're all obviously body parts, but what is the odd one out? Some suggestions in the comments section and reasons for it. You might want to put those in the comments section. Okay, that's option number one. So just put one and then the option, the choice that you've got, the odd one out. Next one here, number two, odd one out. Which one's the odd one out? A chair, a ball, a bed, and a table. Which one do you think is the odd one out? Just put number two and then your choice for the odd one out. Chair, ball, bed, table. Here we go. Next one, number three, odd one out. A swimming costume. That's a swimming costume, by the way, the polka dot. An umbrella. Mittens. And a bodyboard or a surfboard. So a swimming costume. It's not really an umbrella, actually. It's a parasol. So a swimming costume, a parasol, mittens, and a bodyboard or a surfboard. So make your choices there in the comments section. Next one, number four. I think it's number four. Yes, number four. A lamp, a candle, a bumblebee, and a torch. Which one's the odd one out there? Number four, a lamp, a candle, bumblebee, or a torch? Which one do you think is the odd one out? And finally, number five, we have a sugar cane, a cake, a chocolate bar, and sweet. Sugar cane, a cake, a chocolate bar, and a sweet. Which one do you think? That's number five. Which one do you think is the odd one out? So, we just go back. Oops, going back here. So, number one, odd one out. I wonder what you thought was the odd one out here. It'd be really interesting to note, but the correct answer is the arm. The rest are on your head. Ears, lips, and nose, all on the head, and your arm is not. So the arm is the odd one out there. Next one. Chair, a ball, a bed, and a table. The correct answer is a ball. The rest are pieces of furniture. So we've got the ball as the odd one out there. So congratulations, you've got that correct. Number three, a swimming costume, a parasol, mittens, and a bodyboard or a surfboard. The odd one out is mittens. The rest are for summertime, and beaches particularly. Mittens are for winter. So that's what the correct answer is. Next one, number four, lamp, candle, bee, torch. The odd one out. This may be slightly easier. It's a bee. The rest give out light. The lamp and the candle and the torch are for giving light, and the bumblebees don't give out light. And finally, the sugar cane, the cake, the chocolate bar and sweet. This may have been slightly more tricky, deliberately so, because this is going to make my point. And it really does work for the others as well. But actually, there isn't an odd one out, or at least there's not an obvious odd one out here. And all the previous ones, I chose what was the odd one out, but you may have had a different understanding or different idea. And in this one, if you're looking for the odd one out, if you guessed something, then that's fine. You know, it may well be the odd one out. You may have your reasons for putting that as the odd one out. But actually, when we start looking for what is the odd one out, we start to find it. And we start making up reasons to put something as the odd one out, or to fall out, to exclude something from the categories that we choose. So once we start looking for it, we might choose something, and it might just be slightly arbitrary. So, you know, the fact that the ear, the mouth, and the nose are all on the head, and the arm is not, it's a sort of arbitrary odd one out. There may well have been a reason why the lips were the odd one out, because they were the only one that was red. The others were were more peachy colour. That would have been fine as an odd one out, because it does technically separate it from something else. In our Bible story, so many people focus on the difference between Jesus and the woman and the disciples, and they talk about how Jesus is bigoted, and Jesus doesn't accept this woman because she's a Gentile, and that because she's not a Jew, that he doesn't care about her and he doesn't love her. Well, we know that that's not true, but some people have seen that because they just want to see the difference between people, and they want to see that Jesus is identifying those differences. But actually, Jesus comes and welcomes all people. The moment we start reading in and projecting and onto Jesus these thought processes and these prejudices, it says more about us and our current time and our current popular opinions than it does about Jesus. And we should be very, very careful about that. Because what we miss is what Jesus is really saying. And that is that this person is able to receive God's healing, God's love, God's grace. But he has escaped that in order to try and recover, to rest, so that he has more energy, more space to be able to give people the attention and the love that they deserve. And so he's saying to her, yeah, look, I need to reserve my energy. I need to give this stuff to the people of Israel. And I've been giving it out so much. I'm so tired. I've been feeding them. I've been, you know, helping them. I've been guiding them. And I just want to have a bit of a rest. And you coming here, I sort of just need to recover. So I need to save up my energy to give to the children before I come back to you. And she says, just a little bit, just a crumb is all I'm asking. And he says to her, great is your faith. Compare that to last week when Peter has a little bit of faith but dismisses it because it's not Jesus, and he has little faith. And yet that is all that Jesus asks of us. Just a crumb, a little bit, and it will become great. So we are going to sing now. Going to sing a song asking God to open the eyes of our heart, to not just see what is popular, not just to see what the world sees, not to just follow the crowd and assume that we know what's going on by what other people are telling us, but that we would be willing to stand out, to be for Jesus only and for God, to open the eyes to see him high and lifted up. So let's worship together.
open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
I wonder if you have had an experience of feeling uncomfortable, unwelcomed, and excluded. Our Bible story today from Luke chapter 15 highlights the questions about acceptance and inclusion, which may cause us discomfort. One might think this story of Canaanite woman is about healing and about Jesus' power and authority. Of course it is, but it goes deeper and cuts into the heart of the prevalent thoughts and practices of the day. In our gospel reading today, perhaps Jesus was feeling uncomfortable due to the lack of understanding of the leaders of his day. It could be that in Jewish territory, Jesus can't find time to pray and to rest. He is so busy in Israel, teaching, preaching, and healing, that there is no time for him to teach and train his disciples to get them ready for the mission ahead. It may be that the disciples are feeling uncomfortable because they have been accused by their religious leaders of not following the religious ceremonial rules. Jesus has taken them out of their area into a Gentile and unfamiliar territory. Now, a Gentile woman is bothering them and would not leave them alone. It could be that the woman is feeling uncomfortable. She is a woman approaching Jewish men, which was not acceptable. The Gentile woman is described in Mark's Gospel as Syrophoenician woman. She was a mixed race of Syria and Phoenicia, again, not acceptable in the society of the day. The fact that she has come to Jesus and not the man of the house shows she is a single mother. Either she is a widow without a male in the family, or she has been cast out of her community because either she has married outside her community or has a child outside marriage. In today's world, cleaning of hands, washing and sanitizing have become a necessity. We know that the coronavirus infection can destroy our body. It is ironic that in the verses which precede this story, there is a debate about physical cleanliness and the laws about eating. In Matthew 15:18, Jesus declares that what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and what comes out of the heart determines what makes one clean. The woman in our story is considered unclean and unacceptable. The disciples and the society draw their shutters and exclude her. The disciples and our society today still look at outward appearance, race, gender, and social status. The coronavirus pandemic and the Black Lives Matter movement have highlighted these divisions and disparities. There are still people in our civilized 21st century who are unloved, ignored, rejected, and excluded. For me, like the woman in our story, living as a Christian among other faiths in my early age, and now living in Britain as a member of the ethnic minority community, has at times been very uncomfortable. It is by the love, grace, and power of God, together with the acceptance, encouragement, and support of those who saw beyond my religion, color, ethnicity, and outward appearance, that I am now part of the senior leadership of our diocese. 1 Samuel 16:7 reads, "The Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Jesus is concerned about deeper things, which have the ability to make any person pure and can help to create a fair, respectful, and just society. It is not what we can have and what we consume that will bring us closer to God and to our fellow humans. It is what we think and do that pleases God. It is not the act of receiving and consuming, but the act of love, respect, and compassion which can make someone's life better and bring smile to their faces. We might think that the woman had crossed boundaries to enter into the presence of Jesus, but in fact, it was Jesus who had crossed boundaries and entered into this woman's world, which created opportunity to extend his grace and salvation to her, just as he entered into our world as a human to extend his love to all the world, including you and me. Jesus says to the woman, "You are an outsider. You are not included." The woman does not take offense. She knows her needs and her utter helplessness. This woman does something that is significant. She kneels before Jesus. Matthew interprets this action as one befitting a king. Do you remember, at the birth of Jesus, shepherds who were considered ceremonially unclean to worship in the temple, and the wise men who were Gentiles, were the first to offer worship to Jesus in recognition of him being Savior and King This is what we read in Gospels of Luke and Matthew in particular. This woman is deeply aware of the power and grace of God and asks for a share in it. Jesus says to the woman, "It is not appropriate to feed dogs before children." Some commentators point out that in Matthew 15:26, the word Jesus used was the term for a pet dog. The woman, however, is not deterred, but longs to be fed from the table. She claims a place in the household, but it is not a position of privilege or even the position of an insider. She accepts the status of a family dog by claiming that even dogs are fed crumbs from the master's table. The woman is so focused on her need and the deep desire of her daughter's healing that she is even willing to accept humiliation. Because she is confident of the love, compassion, and power of Jesus to heal, to restore, and to include. Notably, the woman greets Jesus as the Son of David. Her recognition is all the more remarkable because the disciples have been a bit slow in recognizing Jesus' true identity. The woman kneels at Jesus' feet. Kneeling is not only her acceptance of Jesus' kingship, but also recognition of his power and authority. How is it possible that this woman has more insight into Jesus' identity than his disciples? She is, after all, an unclean outsider. Her belief in Jesus is so strong that even though she is an outsider, she is declared as a woman of a great faith. Jesus grants her acceptance and inclusion and a place at his table. Jews considered themselves to be the people of God, just as some Christians might think of themselves today. Similarly, they might consider those who do not believe in Jesus to be outside God's grace and salvation. Jesus challenges the perceptions and practices of the societies of both Jews and Gentiles and of ours today. This teaches us about the love, compassion, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as about the faith of the people who are in desperate need of healing, restoration, acceptance, and inclusion. It also teaches us about the coming kingdom of our Lord, which includes all people. We read the description of God's kingdom in Revelation 7:9. "I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." God's kingdom is where all are welcome, renewed, released, and rejuvenated to the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior. I wonder if Jesus' question to Peter in Matthew 15:16 is also directed at us. Are you still without understanding? What is it that we still don't understand? Are we among those who have experienced God's love, grace, and compassion, and still don't fully understand? Or are we not comfortable with the idea of a kingdom of God which is open to all people? In Matthew 28:19, Jesus commands his followers to make disciples of all nations. So as followers of Christ today, let us extend a welcome to all, as Revelation 22:17 compels us to do so. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let everyone who hears say, "Come," through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So we are going to move into a time of intercession and response to all that we've thought about and heard today. Children, if you're not already, if you want to come back, you need to find your five plates or dishes that you were asked to collect. Beginning of the service, and the pieces of bread. Make sure that everyone has a slice of bread, and the five plates or dishes put out in front of you. In our Bible reader, we heard about crumbs being used and divided up and given as gifts to the dogs in the family, to those that humbly come and beg for food at the family table. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray that that the blessings of God would fall upon certain people. What I want you to do is to take a chunk out of the slice of bread and hold it in your hand. We're going to be thinking about those people that we might see as different. We might see as different from us, as odd ones out in our lives. So particularly those that are of a different age to you. Maybe those people who are younger than you, that you see as different because of they're younger. Or they are older. Maybe they're older and you're just going to go, they're different people to me. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they think or how they feel, etc. I want you to think about that person, whoever it is. Just allow your mind to wander and find someone, and allow God to help you to identify someone, to think of someone that might be different to you in age. And I want you to put your bit of bread, your chunk of bread, onto one of the plates. All the family, household, the same plate. That's the age plate. So just put the piece of bread on there. And as you do it, ask God's blessing to rest upon that person, whoever you thought of as a different age to you. Pray for them. Pray for God's blessing upon them. And you might not understand them. You may think of yourself as different from them because they are older than you or younger than you. But ask that you would know them and that they would know you, that you would be you'd be seen as the same in God's family. I want you to take another chunk out of your slice of bread. Bear in mind that you need to have five of them, but take a chunk out of the slice of bread. And hold that in your hand. Now we're going to think of, we've thought about different ages. Now we're going to think about people who are a different gender to you. So if you're a boy, then think of a girl that you know, or a woman. And if you are a woman or a girl, think of a boy or a man that you can think of. Try and think of a different person than the age person. I want to think about that difference, okay? And allow God to bring that person to mind, whoever it is. And when you've got that person in mind, put that chunk of bread on the plate. Again, household, same plate. That's the sort of gender plate. I'm going to put that on. I'm going to ask for God's blessing upon that person, whoever you thought of. And just as much as you think that there's a difference between you, that you might think differently, act differently, or whatever from that person, again, just pray that you would see them as equal to you, equal in the love of God. I'm going to take another chunk of bread. I'm going to put it on. Going to hold it in your hand, sorry. I'm going to think of someone who lives in a different place to you. So hopefully you might all live in Sheffield. Someone who lives in a different place, a place which is very different from yours. Maybe it's down south. Maybe you live in a council estate. Maybe you think of someone who lives in a suburb, or maybe someone who lives out in the country. Think of that person again, different person from the age and the gender person. So be thinking of someone who lives in a different place to you, who has a very different life because they live in that different place. Call God's blessing down upon them. Ask for God to bless them. And consider that thought process that you think of, that they are different from you, that they live different lives. And then ask that you would, that God would help you to identify again and see them as equally deserving of God's love and grace to you. And once you've got to put that piece of bread on the plate, same plate, family members, we're going to take another bit, another chunk. You've got two plates left, so take a bit of a chunk from that. And I want you to hold that. I want you to think of someone who you who may be very similar to you in all of those things, maybe completely different to you in all those things. But the person I want you to think about is the person that you struggle to understand. Someone who thinks so very differently to you. Someone who might act very differently to you, who might have different opinions about things. In that popularity quiz we did earlier, someone who would have chosen something very different if you were asked what your favourite topping of pizza is, or TV presenter. Someone who just thinks very differently to you. We need to think of that person, whoever it is. And I want you to ask God's blessing upon them. Pray for them. Pray that they would know the love of God. God would be with them and would give them gifts and healing, compassion and love. When you think of that person, just put the piece of bread on the table. Now, in front of you, you should have an empty plate, and each of you have a crumb left, a little chunk of bread left. We need to look now at the other four plates, the plates that you've all put it on. They've all got something, and they've probably got however many people there are in your household or family. They've got that much chunk on their plate. Suddenly, you might feel like actually that chunk in yours is the bit that you have. And it may feel like you've got less than other people. But I want you to remember something that we learnt 2 weeks ago when we talked about the feeding miracles, that crumbs were handed out to the crowds and yet everyone was full, and what came back were baskets and baskets of crumbs for the disciples to eat. So it can feel like when we pray for God's blessing on these people that we kind of go, oof, yeah, but they're not as close to Jesus. They're different from me and they don't, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is. They can feel like we lack and we lose out. But that is not possible in God's grace, that God gives. Even his crumbs satisfy us. So us asking for crumbs is not a sense of we don't deserve it. It's just saying, you know, whatever you can give, give. We will receive it with gratitude. And so that piece of bread and the empty plate is to help you to remember that it, even though you might feel like you're not getting much from God, whatever he gives you is enough. And so we thank God for that crumb. Whatever crumb we receive, we thank him that he has had compassion upon us. So let's pray. And I'm going to ask Joy to lead us in those prayers, particularly focusing on our vocation. That when God calls us and wants to use us, he gives us things. Again, going back to the feeding of the 5,000 that we thought about 2 weeks ago, that God gives us things to give away, but we will never be without. So let's think about where God is calling us, what the gifts that God is giving us, and how he wants us to use it. So Joy is going to lead us in our intercessions.
Morning, everyone. So I'm praying today about vocation, and it just brought to mind a verse that's been speaking to me over the last couple of weeks, so I thought I'd share it with you. So it's from Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were two seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, Here am I, send me." So I was just, after reading that, it made me think about how God calls us all, and it might not be to go abroad and be a missionary, but we've all got a calling. So I just want to pray this morning that we'd know God's calling on our lives, and we would listen and be open to that, and we would say, "Here am I, send me." So Lord God, I thank you that you're with each one of us at St. Peter's, and I pray that we would be willing to go wherever you send us and whatever you call us to do, that we would listen to your calling on our lives, and we will be able to discern where you're leading us and what you want us to do, Lord. And I pray especially during this strange time we're in, during the pandemic, that you would help us to find new ways of showing Jesus to the people that we meet, whether it be meeting them in person or communicating in other ways, that we would be open to your call. Amen.
Thank you, Joy. We're going to join together by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil, and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. In view of what Joy helpfully just prayed for us, I have an announcement to make as part of our notices. Some of you will have already seen this, so I'm just making this more public. I have, over the last 8 years in ministry — I got ordained 8 years ago — I have faced a sustained series of conflicts and challenges, with small bits in between of joy and rest and everything. And of course, the major one of those was losing Sarah 2 years ago. But all of this has begun to take its toll on me, and particularly in recent events. Particular recent events and conflicts and challenges have caused me to take a particular personal cost in terms of my own well-being. And so in light of all of that, I have decided to just take a step back from ministry, only for 2 weeks. But starting from today, I'm going to be taking myself out of action, out of contact. And I'm doing that really to take some time to recover and to rest and to recuperate, to pray, to return to just being me and God, and seeking his will for my life, for the vocation that he's called me to. I've sort of lost sight of what it is that God wants me to do and what he doesn't want me to do, more importantly. So I'm taking a rest and I'm signing myself off from ministry. That is only kind of majority of my ministry. I will continue to provide online worship and live worship or in-person worship on Sundays. But other than that, I'm out of action. If you need to contact someone for pastoral reasons and you need pastoral support, then Michelle is the person that you need to contact. And her email address is here. So do contact Michelle if you require any pastoral support, or if indeed there is some practical, pragmatic things that need to be done, which you need to bring to my attention, then do email Michelle, and Michelle will make sure that I get, well, she'll make a judgment call, and I'm sure she can cover all of it with Simon and Bess as well. So please do contact her in the first instance for any anything, even pastoral needs. So do contact her about that. I want to stress that, and I'm saying this really for myself more than you, but some of you may need to hear this. Signing yourself off work, looking after yourself, taking some time out just to retreat, rest, recuperate, pray, etc., is not a failure or a weakness. It's not shirking responsibility or abandoning my post in any way. Again, I'm saying this more for myself than for you, to tell myself that this is true. This is about me refocusing. It's about focusing again on my primary vocation, and that's about me being a contemplative watchman for God. That's what I think God has called me to be, and I've sort of lost sight of that, and I need to return to home base and just recover, a bit like Jesus did in his gospel reading today. And so I'm going to attempt to do that. And I ask that you would pray for me. That you would pray that I would receive healing for the wounds that I have sustained in attempting to love others over the last 8 years. To pray that the Lord would speak to me, guide me, would tend to me, would remind me of his love for me. So please do pray for me over the next 2 weeks. As I say, I'll still be here on Sundays leading the live worship and indeed in person in the church, but other than that, I will be offline and off duty. This is not a holiday. I will be deep in prayer, deep in vocation, and wrestling with a lot of stuff, reflecting on a lot of things. So it is really important that you pray for me in that. Other notices, we are heading into September and we will be welcoming back our preachers. Please do pray for them as well. As well as that, rota, I'll be trying in the beginning of September to send out a new rota. If you could just email me just to let me know that you're still up for doing things, having been away from you all and socially distant and isolated from you all, I've kind of lost track of who's still around and who's up for doing things, etc., particularly online. So it may be that you're not willing to do stuff in person in church, but you are willing to do things online. Please do let me know about that. Do email me and I'll pick those up in the beginning of September as I make a rota for that. I think that's it in terms of notices. If there are any other notices, please do use the comment section to share them and inform people of other things that are going on. I'm going to finish with a final song. This song we played last week for the first time, and we had some good feedback. People really responded to it, and in light of what I've just said and what Joy has prayed for, and as we head back into the week, I think it's a good song for this time. So we're going to worship using the song Changing Me. one of the things I forgot to do in the notices was to share some pictures that got sent in, or a picture that got sent in from Maisie and Abigail, I'm presuming. Yes, I think both of them. So we're going to just have a look at what they did last week. There we go. So this is the boat prayers. They wrote their prayers there. Joy did say that what happened, Maisie's sank, but she did, it got sank because it was called the Titanic. So she did write the Titanic on it. So that's why it got sunk. Here we have a boat also being used as a hat. So well done. Well done, both Maisie and Abigail. Thank you for sending those in. If you have photos of other activities of worship that you've done, then please do send them in. Maybe you want to take a photo of the bread prayers and you enjoying your crumbs of bread. That would be lovely to see. So we're going to finish with a final blessing and then say goodbye. May the Father, from whom every family in earth and heaven receives its name, strengthen you with his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all and remain with us now and always. Amen. Go into the world in peace, be of good courage, love without borders, share without fear, seek with passion and pray without ceasing. Go to love and serve the Lord. As family, we go to love, witness and grow for God's glory in the world. Have a good rest of your Sunday. Have a good week and peace be with you.